I read poetry and sonnets, and he plays the upright bass.
Yamakipiebo, sedere facebo, in dog Latin, he quoth, Uje, suffer, surrey! Well, he bit all the he-dogs and winked at all the she-dogs. The town never knew such a hullabaloo as that little dog raised till the end of that day.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out, I feel him out. And we go for it.
TBTL!
That's a Donnybrook. That's a total Donnybrook. A Donnybrook. You know what a Donnybrook is? It's a Donnybrook.
Don't worry, because they call me Devo, because I can whip them good.
What kind of rap do you do? Are you, like, sort of sing-songing a rap, like Bone Thugs and Harmony, or are you more like street, like Will Smith?
You know, this is beginning to seriously undermine my self-esteem.
That's how this works. This is how we make the sounds on the podcast, right? We talk into this thing, and we say, welcome to a Monday morning edition of TBTL. The show that just might be too beautiful to live. Hi, everybody. My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Poop doody whoop scoop. Poop.
Somebody actually played that song via Touch Tunes last night at the bar. That is how much TBTL is influencing the culture, people. I was sitting there with our friend Camaro Kev, minding my own business, and what came onto the stereo system at the Pinehurst Pub?
Poop doody whoop scoop. Poop.
So that's just one of the many dazzling details you'll be learning about today on the show. It's episode 2644 in a collector series.
You want showmanship? You got it.
We are coming to you from the offices of Walsh, Walsh & Doormat in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. And we have so much to talk about on this Monday.
I'll say, what's up, dog?
Well, the listeners are continuing to beg us and plead with us to continue chasing our dreams of public radio weekend stardom. They are now on Twitter hatching easy peasy plans on how we can create 10 minutes of call-in radio and send it to WBUR by COB tomorrow. So we will once again talk about that.
Let's take on projects that we know we can't do and do them!
Whether or not Andrew wants us to, we will revisit that topic. Also, a friend of ours is getting into the lucrative voiceover business.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
So we'll learn about that, and we'll say hi to a longtime friend of the program, who you'll all be very excited to hear from in just a moment. First, though, we have to introduce this young man, the aforementioned longest-running Cobra of the show, the Hodor of podcasting, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. He bought a hot air balloon, but it doesn't mean he thinks he's going to have tacos for dinner tonight. He's Andrew.
Ooh.
Walsh.
Oh, explicit.
And he joins us now from right across this table. Hello, me amigo.
Hey, you went with the short intro for me today. That's all right. We have all week to stretch it out, get the other details in there.
I don't want this to happen. I don't want to sound glib or like I'm making light. But do you think if I was involved in some sort of accident and I was in a coma and I wasn't 100% aware of my surroundings, do you think I would still be able to do your intro because it is that now ingrained as a muscle memory? You know, people.
Oh, I was going to say that probably if you're in some sort of a state, you're probably just muttering that to yourself. Like, that's the only thing that people can hear you say. You're just sitting there.
That's, by the way, that is how I plan to spend the last 20 years of my life, on a park bench muttering. But no, somebody that I know who ended up being fine, thankfully, sustained a head injury, basically. And when they came out of the coma, all they could say was the word pencil.
Oh, my God.
I feel like all I would be able to say is Cobra.
Yeah.
Some collection of those words. How are you on this Monday morning?
I'm doing well. I realized that I just remembered, because Twitter just reminded me that I narked on somebody earlier today. You know, remember I told you I was trying to reclaim my Twitter account because I had like a million fake followers, so Twitter wasn't taking me seriously, and then I didn't take myself seriously because of that.
And now you have people following you on Twitter whose very bio is, Andrew, I'm not a bot.
Yeah, that's right. Now a bunch of people have changed their bios to let me know that they are actual real people. Well, I got a new follower today, and, you know, whenever I get a new follower, I say,
Ooh.
Oh, is that what you do?
I guess I don't need you to play it when I'm sitting right here.
Yeah, you're capable of making that sound.
So I saw that I had a new follower, and then I saw, though, that it was somebody who, like, follows tons of people, doesn't have any followers themselves, didn't seem to have a grasp on the English language. All flags pointed towards this being a bot. And so I was like, well, I'm a good boy now, Mr. Twitter, and so I'm going to block this person and report them so that you won't accuse me of buying a bunch of friends. But I forgot that when you report somebody, it actually gets reported, and I just got a note from Twitter that says, we received your report, and they're taking it very seriously. So I feel a little bit like a narc. That's how I'm doing.
And by the way, you stand by this theory that it was definitely, it is a bot?
Yeah, I don't think I can get it in front of me right now because I did block it.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. After going through the hundreds and hundreds of fake followers, I looked at who they were following, who was following them, and the content, and there was no through line in it. It was all like kind of random crap.
Yeah. I made the mistake last week. We got to get to our special guest too, but I made the mistake last week of tweeting a non-joke tweet, of tweeting an earnest tweet in the aftermath of that terrible business in Texas with the shooting.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, I try to not do that because then what happens is you slide into the comments on that, and it devolves very, very quickly.
Doesn't make your day better usually.
Exactly, and like I'm like, really, okay, I was the one who finally told people that we need some sensible gun control in this country.
Oh,
I cracked.
Are you the one who got us to turn the corners?
I did.
Congratulations. Thank you.
So I'm feeling pretty good about things on this Monday. I'm feeling really good because we have sitting just to the left of me one of the founders of this program and the I would say the engineer, the board op, the acting chops, and the heart and soul emeritus of TBTL. His name is Sean DeTore.
Hello, my weight's 146.5, same as yesterday.
He's maybe a little north of 146.5, but he is here with us today, this morning, and it is it's exciting to have him. Hello, my friend.
Hello, sirs. It's nice to be here. Thanks for
inviting me. Welcome back, dude. It's been a million years since you've been on the show.
It has. Yes, I'm somewhere north of 146.5 and somewhere south of 200.
I'm glad about that because 146.5 would be unhealthy.
Yes, that's almost emaciation.
Yes.
Emaciation.
I am mortified that you are here for my screw-up. I was like, oh, look, Shawnee's here. He can watch what a master of the ones and twos I am these days.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally
What was your screw-up?
I didn't have your mic on. I turned my mic on instead of yours at the beginning of the show. And then I thought we were going to restart, but you're a professional. You're just like, which is what I always tell you, just like keep going. But I'm like, no, I made a mistake.
I noticed it right away. I noticed it right away, and I didn't say anything, number one, because my mic wasn't on.
Yeah.
And number two, I just didn't want to be that kind of guy.
Yeah, no, I'm really embarrassed about it, Sean.
Have you guys thought about...
And Sean is, I have to say, a savant at operating the board. So, I mean...
It's no joke.
Very kind of you. Have you guys thought about opening up your own dojo called Cobra Kai? Because that would be fantastic.
That is good.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
God, we've used that. That drop is from, Sean, from the I guess you would call it, workplace appropriateness training.
Yeah.
That Andrew and I had to take for our, you know, this company we work for called APM.
Right.
And there's like a bunch of little pieces of dialogue in the, because it's like a slideshow you do on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard this, I thought, oh, maybe we'll use that once or twice.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
We probably use it 20 times per show now, which tells you we're telling jokes that should not be told.
But we're telling jokes. That's the important
Feels good
thing.
To laugh.
In a part of that video, did you ever, was there a line that said, you know, you shouldn't compliment people on their clothing. You should say, I like your fashion. Like you shouldn't say, that's a really nice shirt.
I remember
that
from Cairo.
That was the TBTL days.
I really love your shirt today. You look so full in it.
But actually, wasn't that what you were not supposed to say? Was you really fill out
that joke.
Didn't they do a Goofus and Gallant thing? Like the one, the creepy guy says, boy, you really fill out that shirt.
Right.
Or
and
something.
Then you're supposed to say, I really like your fashion.
I really like your fashion.
Which I do. Thank you.
I think what we learned for APM is you are allowed to ask somebody out as long as you are not their supervisor. Mm. And as long as if they say no, you take the hint.
Right.
Right. Isn't that the rule? Like it's not. I will say this for all of the grief that we've given to that sort of slideshow we had to do. It wasn't like the biggest wet blanket of all time. It was like a lot of it was saying you're allowed to make jokes.
Right.
Like it's not like you can't, you know, be friendly to people or make jokes. You have to try to be aware of your surroundings.
Right.
And
just be a somewhat normal, quote, normal
exactly.
person.
Exactly. They could save everybody a lot of money if they were like, hey, did you do the slideshow? No, here it is. It's just a page that says, be a normal person.
Yeah, don't be a creep. Yeah. Don't be a creep.
Yeah.
They say, I think they said in ours, it's like you can ask somebody out as long as you're not their supervisor. And if you start by saying, are you down to clown?
Yeah.
Oh, explicit. Ooh.
Also, the other thing, Sean, that's happened since you left is almost all the drops on the show are Andrew saying things. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't quite realize that until Sean was sitting here and I realized, like, I'm hearing it through a new person's ears.
I agree with everything that you said.
And Andrew just literally, he said that right now. That wasn't even a drop.
He thought it.
Yeah.
I've somehow been able to warm it in. I felt really good the other day because I was listening to the Howard Stern show. Mm-hmm. And they have a whole person who's just pretty much his main job is to play drops.
Nice. That'd be a fun job.
Right? If we ever get the budget, Sean, you're the drop meister in chief for this show.
Oh, I can drop things, yes.
But even Fred Norris, the guy whose main job is just to sit there and cue up drops while everyone else is talking, mm-hmm. he couldn't get to a drop.
Oh.
And then it was like, and then the moment passed and he was like, yeah, I couldn't get to it.
His mic was on. He was just like frustrated with himself.
Yes. And I felt it was the most reassuring thing for me because I can never get to any of the drops mm-hmm. in time. But at least my excuse is I'm also trying to co-host the show.
Right.
I have this janky iTunes connection that only works about half the time.
I'm just hearing excuses and not actually.
You're right. We bring Sean in, Japan's number one mixer.
Just like, come on, man.
Mr. Beagle Bagel Boggle Boogle, who is like, along with all of his many talents, some of which we're going to hear about in a moment, is a master at running an audio board. Like, Sean, I've never seen anybody do it as well as you do.
I appreciate that.
It's almost like a musical language. You just kind of doing all that. We've brought you in and we totally beefed the microphone part.
You know, you got to eat that microphone.
and then we talked about our inability to play audio drops. We're not really showing our best audio skills here.
But it's okay. I've known you guys long enough to know that it's just a phase and that this will pass and get better.
I thought you were going to say it's just a bit that we could do it all perfectly and smoothly if we wanted to. We just choose not to.
It's phase one.
We're looking for improvement opportunities.
I mean, we've only done this 2,644 times.
Right.
So, I mean, we're still learning.
Yes.
Can you believe that, Sean, that this thing has happened 2,644 times?
No, TBTL is almost a capital letter show. I mean, it's all lowercase because that's cool. But it's 10 years old. It's like...
Yeah, it's grown up.
It is grown up.
It deserves to have the T capitalized.
At some point.
I have a nephew. I have a little nephew named Luke. We call him Little Luke. He is named for me. And I saw him over the weekend. And he's like a year and something. He doesn't really talk yet, and he doesn't really know who I am. Mm-hmm. But it's really important to me that he understands that he and I have the same name. So it was a huge family get together because pretty much everybody in my family and my extended family, they're all younger than me by 5 or 6 years. So they're all the age where they're all having babies. So there was toddlers. There was like 40 babies or toddlers at this thing because it wasn't just my sisters. And my brothers, it was like my cousins who live in other countries now. And so anyway, amidst this scrum of babies was my little nephew, little Luke. And I picked him up. I said, do you realize without me, your name would be To Be Determined?
I think, wasn't that the name of the show before you decided on Too Beautiful to Live?
Actually, we could go
that's
back
not
to that.
Bad, yeah.
But you needed one more letter to make it work. It's like, this is welcome to TBD.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
All right, so Sean, we have you here. Because we noticed
under duress, by the way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We noticed the other day that you've launched a voiceover business on Fiverr.
Yeah.
Where you're offering. Well, why don't you tell me what are the services that you are ready to provide for the TBTL listeners and anybody else out there who would like to avail themselves of these services?
Well, so Fiverr is this cool website where if you're a freelancer and you have something that you can offer somebody, you can just sign up. And say, I will make you a voiceover for $5, and then you have a sort of list of items and or you know things that you'll do that are under that price range. And so, if you go to Fiverr.com, and you search. So what I've tried to make it as easy as possible if you want to find me because it's kind of difficult. If you go to Fiverr.com, and that's Fiverr with two R's, and you type in the mixtape 77. That's my username.
Uh-huh.
It'll say, we can't find him.
Okay, and then, so far so good.
Yeah, right.
And then right under that where it says we can't find him, it'll be like search for his username and then you find me. And so tell me, Luke, if that worked, if that's exactly what you're doing on your computer.
I was trying to see if there was a if there was a more direct way than mixtape 74 and searching
77. That's your first mistake.
Yeah. 74 is me. So I'm also doing voiceover.
Yeah. For $5, I will do a voiceover for you, 200 words or less. It'll be for $5, right? Okay. And if it's 201 words to 400, it's like $10, and then it goes up in $5 increments from there, right? Okay.
So Fiverr, you can charge more than $5 on Fiverr, but it has to be in increments?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and I could start with a $10, but it's Fiverr, like $5. Like, come on, give me a break.
I'm absolutely. Follow the, you said you've already gotten an order.
I have one order. And I made him an offer because he
Please tell me he was not trying to talk you down from $5.
No, he was like, I have this script, and I typed in I copy and pasted the script into this website that figured out how many words was in it.
Uh-huh.
It was like 1,386 words.
Yeah.
So I typed that into the Fiverr thing, and it came out to like $35. And then it was a video a script for a video. A voiceover for his work video. And cool. So there's some checks that you can mark for commercial use. And so you can charge whatever you want for commercial use, essentially for him to buy me out so he can use that on his video for however long he wants. So for that, I charge $25. And if it's for broadcast use, for radio and stuff, $50.
I'm speaking of broadcast, I hear you at least four times a day. On my radiola.
Yeah.
Because I listen to the Mariners games. And in fact, you know what? I listen sometimes on the Sirius satellite app.
Are you serious?
On their MLB app. And I'll hear you.
Yeah. That's great.
By way of their app, too. Doing the ads for, like, what are you doing? What's Eco?
Eco products?
Sure. I do Eco products. I've done Fred Meyer. I've done Live Nation. I do the tags.
You did Hans Sego. You did Hans Sego night.
Right. I do the Hans Sego night.
Yeah. Andrew's most hated Mariner night. He thinks the joke is dumb.
It was a real
not
stretch.
You, not your voice.
No.
He just he was not a fan of the
portmanteau of this.
I would say, though, maybe with a different voiceover artist, they could have sold it.
Thanks for considering me an artist, though. No one's ever said that about me.
Take it.
I cannot believe you just told that joke.
But I've been doing more commercial work at Cairo, which is my day job, so I feel really lucky to be able to do that. Yeah.
Do you have a kind of like a mindset that you try to get into based on what the voiceover is about? Like if it's about trying to reduce the waste at Safeco Field, that's one kind of mindset. If it's Fred Meyer or if it's Hans Sego night, that's a different kind. Like what's your kind of mental approach to the whole thing?
Sure. If I'm doing like a Mariner spot, like a 20-second tag at the end of a commercial that has this like pumped up music and this person doing their voiceover, or even if I'm just doing a 20-second Hans Sego commercial, which is Andrew's favorite. for that, I'll kind of like almost yell and I'll get really pumped and I'll be like, it doesn't sound like I'm yelling when you listen to it, but I feel like I'm yelling.
It feels like you're going way too far with it.
Yes.
In the moment. Yeah. And then later it's like, no, this is about right.
Yeah. And then for a Fred Meyer, I'll just imagine myself in a Fred Meyer. And I mean, whenever I do that, even if I'm not doing a voiceover, I get so happy, you know, because like I find it there. I find it at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Do you actually like going to Fred? Because I was talking with Hannah, who was filling in the other day when Luke was out, and like she and I were both saying that like the grocery store actually is like a mental happy place for her. One time she was having a freak out and she had her boyfriend drop her off there so she could just wander around and center herself.
Wow.
I do enjoy going to the grocery store, and I know you do too, Andrew, walking down the aisles and like looking for deals and all that. So Fred Meyer is a grocery store. It's a hardware store. Mm-hmm. It's a floral joint.
Mm-hmm. Jewelry. Electronics.
Yeah. They've got everything. They have everything.
I actually have not spent a lot of time.
I don't know why I'm so excited about
this.
Yeah,
were we recording that?
Yeah.
Cut it. Print it. We've got the next Freddy's ad for Cairo. Okay, so listen, let's do this. We got to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then when we come back, Sean, we have a couple of little VO challenges we'd like to throw at you.
Yes.
Just kind of test out the range here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the listeners will be able to hear all of the different kinds of things you can do. I know you do the voiceover all the different ways.
Yeah.
So we'll do that in just a moment. First, this break, and then back with more TBTL. We are nihilists. Well, because she's one of the nihilists, right, in Lebowski.
Oh, I forgot about that. I always remember that Flea is, but I always forgot that she is.
Boy, I loved this song so much when it came out. Sean, are you old enough to remember this song?
Voices like
when it was out, man?
I don't know, maybe 86.
God, I loved it. And then who,
I don't know.
Who'd have thunk that Amy Mann would have a whole rich, interesting career?
Is this Amy Mann?
This is Amy Mann.
I didn't know that.
Till
I didn't
Tuesday
know
Till Tuesday was the original band.
I know
yeah.
it's Till Tuesday. I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah.
This is her. All right. Just almost reset, by the way.
Yeah, you're listening to
TBTL. Old radio habits
the
by
fact
heart.
That Sean is here.
It's totally that. It's completely.
Just do it. Just do a reset.
Can I get the? Can I get a little more?
Sure,
can I get
course.
A little
Sorry
more Amy Mann? So 10:40 on a Monday morning. You've got TBTL on the dial. Still looking for submissions. If you would like to, if you'd like us to draw your name to. Win a Hansigo bobblehead. We've had zero people entering the contest so far. Luke Burbank here with Andrew Walsh right over there. It's Sean DeTore, Japan's number one mixer, coming to you from the... what kind of car do you guys have
it's these a,
days?
It's a VW. Carter VW.
Coming to you from the Carter VW studios here at Walsh, Walsh, and Doormat. Okay, so Sean, we don't have you for very much longer because you got to go to your day job of...
Right.
Recording commercials at Cairo. So instead, we're going to have you pretend record some commercials here on TBTL.
Okay.
Over the course of the next 10 minutes or so. Let us know when you have to get out of here. I don't want to get you in trouble with your real job.
Well,
but
I was,
also,
if you do this well, then you don't need that other job.
Exactly.
That's true. I mean, I was planning on stopping at Fred Meyer on the way before work. So I need enough time to do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, like I said off the air, I browned out when I was talking about Fred Meyer. I got so excited. I didn't realize what I was saying.
I love Fred Meyer. I love wandering around because it was the closest kind of big store to where I grew up, the Fred Meyer in Greenwood. Mm-hmm. So that the Fred Meyer electronics department was just like my happy place as a kid. Now that they've added groceries, it's weird to me.
Really?
Oh, like, that's
my wife
to
buys
know. Okay.
My wife buys groceries at the Fred Meyer.
That's my wife.
She'll bring home something and I'll look on the I'll be like, "You got this steak at Fred Meyer? What was it underneath a CD player?"
I did not. I thought that it was always a one-stop shop because I did
not
move here
the one. Not where I grew up.
That's
not where I grew up.
Okay.
And maybe that was not the case everywhere. What about you? Grew up on the east side. Did the Freddy's over there have food?
You know, to be honest, I never really. I don't remember going to a Fred Meyer when I was living on the east side. It was more when I moved over here to Seattle and was living on my own. I discovered the greatness of the Fred Meyer. But I've always known it as Andrew has, as a one-stop shop.
But although, Luke, I know that feeling you have, and we got to get to Sean's thing, but like that's for me like when Target started selling groceries.
Targus.
Like, I was like, wait, you're going to go, I'm buying boxer shorts here. I shouldn't also be buying like yogurt.
Yes.
That seems wrong.
And it's like, I know these things aren't commingling. I know that they aren't, like the tires are not being
stored.
Not
until I bring them home.
Exactly.
I think that was actually the greatest downfall of Radio Shack.
Explicit.
When they started selling groceries.
Yeah.
You know, I think it wasn't the fact that people could buy things online or go to Fred Meyer, but it was when Radio Shack started selling romaine lettuce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go, Sean.
Yes.
We have a couple of spec spots, I think we'd call these in the biz.
Yeah.
That we've put together for you. We would like to get some example across sort of genres of what you can do in the voiceover world.
All right.
So this first one that we've got here on the list is this is a sort of a classic commercial that you'd hear on Cairo or other like AM stations in the greater Seattle area. And let's see, do you have a little music too to accompany this?
Yep, we got this.
Oh, nice. Is this the Red Rocker?
No, it's just. I just found it on YouTube.
Oh, man.
I'm going to try to do this in one take. Now, to pull the curtain back a little bit to everybody, sometimes I do have to take a couple of takes. So
yeah, that's fine. I know we're putting you kind of on the spot here.
Yeah, but it's a great spot to be on.
Okay. So let's see. Do you want to just...
Should I just start whenever?
Yeah, I think so. Well, here, let me reset this music a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey folks, Sean DeTore here. At Northwest Motorsports, you'll find the largest selection of trucks on the West Coast and customer service without the attitude. No bones about it. We also have new inventory every day, so check out our website at check.
All right,
that's how I leave a little.
We'll pick that up.
We'll pick that up in post. So check out our website at nwmsrocks.com.
Tell them the phone sent ya.
Don't settle for anything less than the best in the West, where you'll find trucks, and more trucks on River Road in Puyallup. And tell them the
phone
sent ya.
The sale starts in Trucktober and extends to...
Oh, no!
in three.
I was trying to do some on the fly Foley with some Trucktober drops for Sean. Sean, that was really good.
I don't know why we all don't just produce a spot together.
Live. Why doesn't Cairo do all of their spots live? I got this.
I got this.
And tell them the bone sent you.
Yeah. That was good, man.
That was good.
Thanks. I think, was I popping the mic at first?
Because I just had you a little bit hot because I forgot that you're going to get into your.
I'm going to eat that. Do
you ever see the bone hanging around the studios? Does he record those NMSW, MS-13?
They're animals. Letters, too.
No, even when he says them on the commercials, and I hear those commercials 400 times a day, NWMSRocks.com, Northwest Motorsports, but I always have to, like, untangle it in my brain.
He also does, and when you get, and I, obviously after this, they're probably going to give you the gig, Sean.
Probably, yeah. Sorry about that. I ate beans for breakfast.
They don't say, he does my least favorite thing, which is he says W.
Instead of W?
W, yeah, W, because it's like it's two U's. It's a W. Yeah.
Right, W.
Well, it's more like a double V if you get down to it.
I would accept double V or W, but not W.
George W. Bush.
In the, oh, God, W.
W.
W. W. W. All right, okay, so that was upbeat rock and roll.
Sure.
Red Rocker.
Yes.
Tell them the bone sent you.
Got it.
What do we have next, Andrew? What's next on the list?
So we wanted to hear how you would do as a movie voiceover, especially when it comes to trailers.
Nice.
In a world. So I found the closest thing to an In a World clip. It's actually in a part of the world, I think. So that's close enough,
right,
I think.
For, you know,
so,
trademark rules.
Unfortunately, there are no explosions in this one, so I apologize for that. But when you're ready.
But I still have this.
And tell them the bone sent you.
It's a movie. In a world where you wondered if this truck rocks or not, one man stood against the tide of cars that were a normal height off the road.
And tell them the bone sent you.
All right, so here comes your Predator music.
All right. In a part of the world where there are...
I started
busting up.
Sorry, I'm sorry. My bad.
Okay. Here we go. You ready?
Hold on. All right, here we go. Okay. In a part of the world where there are no rules, deep in the jungle where nothing that lives is safe.
Ooh.
An elite rescue squad is being led by the ultimate warrior, but now they're up against the ultimate enemy. Nothing like it has ever been unearthed before. We cannot see it, but it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear. It
This is very serious.
Oh, explicit.
It kills for pleasure, but it hunts for sport. This time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt. 20th Century Fox presents Arnold Schwarzenegger, Predator. The hunt begins Friday, June 12th at theaters everywhere.
Okay, dude, legit, that was good. Hella good. That was
Reed.
That was Don LaFontaine levels. That's like in your range.
Thanks.
Like if there was like, you know, if like you're doing a karaoke song, that was like, that is, as far as VO goes, the gravelly voice.
That was, you were in your zone.
Thank you.
That was,
you like how I sped it up a little at the end like they normally do? The hunt begins Friday, June 12th.
Do you ever have to do that when you're producing like some kind of a you know, read you're doing for Cairo where it's like 35 seconds of copy for 30 seconds and so then you just speed it up?
Either I'll try to talk super fast or I'll just time compress it and shorten it by like 2 or 3 seconds so it sounds faster. Yeah.
Man, that was really, really good, Sean.
Good.
Thanks. That was really fun.
Okay, so.
I can't wait to do that again at Home Alone.
Wait, do we owe you $10 now? How does this work?
Is this radio? Are we broadcasting?
Hold on.
Okay, so we have one more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one, Luke, this was your baby here. This is the hold music. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because so, another, I mean, by the way, it may not be the most glamorous, you know, world of voiceover, but it is definitely one that there's a lot of need for, which is that person who basically greets you when you call some kind of like your bank or whatever, right?
Right.
So I thought we could do a little like I'll do a little play acting with you here.
Okay.
So we've got a script for you for being the like on hold voiceover robo person.
Well, this is almost like TBTL players.
Yes.
We're just missing Jen.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Here comes the music.
Thank you for calling DeTore Industries. Your call is important to us. To get you to the right department, please tell us why you're calling.
Agent.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Please say what you're calling about.
Agent.
I understand you want to talk to an agent. To help you find the right agent, please tell us why you're calling.
I want to talk to a fucking human.
Look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. I'm a robot. You are a human standing in line at Dunkin' Donuts. You're almost at the point where you have to order, and we will look like a douche. You want to dance? Let's dance.
Agent.
I'll connect you to an agent. Beep, beep, beep. Ring.
Hey. That was pretty good for something that we wrote 5 seconds before the show started. Very professional.
I tried not to inflect too much because a robot, unlike a human.
Yeah, no, that was the cherry on top.
So you were pronunciation. I love it. So you were basically one of those computer programs that's like the text. You're just converting the text to speech. Yeah. And so that program just took human to be human.
Right. Or I'm a Lowell's cat. Whichever you prefer.
Or both.
Yeah.
Sean, those are all three of those I think were really impressive. I would say the movie trailer, maybe just, because that's so iconic. I thought the movie trailer you crushed. I thought that the Northwest Trucks also, you really did a good job.
Thank you.
And I think, I would say the voiceover copy, you did a good, the writing could have used some help. That's on me. But I think that overall, I think you really knocked it out of the park.
I really appreciate it. I felt like Hans Sego knocking it out. Didn't he knock it out of the park once?
Get out of my house.
Now, just imagine me in a professional studio now.
I know.
All right. So one more time, Sean.
Yes.
People would like to hire you. You'll do anything, right? Like, I assume. I mean, not anything, but as far as like voiceover goes,
anything.
Like, if people want maybe to have you record the outgoing message on their phone,
definitely,
stuff like that, right?
Yeah, whatever you want. Like, just look, try to find me on Fiverr.com.
There's got to be
Mixtape 77 is my handle.
Maybe we can post a link.
Yeah, I will. I'll post one on our page and on the Stens page, and I'll tweet it out under the TBTL banner.
Yeah.
Under the TBTL sigil.
First of his name.
Right. And but also, exactly how you described it before, at Fiverr, although it's a little circuitous, it does work.
Yeah.
You go there, it says you can't find it, and then
and maybe, how about this, Andrew? Could you put it in the newsletter this week?
That's going to cost you about a fiver.
Ooh.
I'm going to say, you got to spend money to make money, my friend.
Is there a website called Forer?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I don't know why this reminds me of that, but last night when Camaro and I were at the Pinehurst for a hot minute, and they were playing, seriously, this Kanye song.
Poop diddy whoop scoop. Poop.
That's a Kanye song?
It is.
Is that new?
It is new.
Wow.
But there was there's a very nice older gal there, 75-year-old gal named Nancy, who is a regular at that place, the Pinehurst. And we were trying to help her sign up for Uber because it was just a much safer way for her to get home from a bar as a 75-year-old person.
Is she the one whose husband stays at home and she goes to the bar? Yeah, Genevieve thinks that's our future, that Genevieve will be the 75-year-old woman.
Well, Nancy
at the bar
seems very happy, so I think it's gonna work out for both of you. But so you've met her. So we were trying to help her sign up for like Uber or Lyft because I was trying to explain, like, it's from where she lives. I was like, it's like $3, and then you don't, because she was sitting there having a very nice time, but she was basically drinking a soda because she was like, I have to drive home, and I said, well. You know, there's a way that you could get here and back home safely and for not too much money. So then we set about trying to sign her up for the service on her phone. She has like some kind of an Android that's on like a senior citizen plan.
Whoa.
So it's like has no data. So first of all, it takes us like an hour to figure out how to even navigate the Android phone and then put the app on there. And then it's like, we need a credit card. And so then I'm like, Nancy, make with the credit card. So
she's got
me and Camaro Kev, two people who are 40 years her junior.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's be honest, 30 years her junior.
35.
Who are like sitting at a bar with her being like, give me the credit card, lady.
Yeah.
And I was like, Nancy, I know this looks bad. I promise you, we're trying to help.
Nancy, I found this USB drive on the ground in the parking lot at work. Just plug it into your computer and let's see what's on it.
It's the luckiest day of my life. So
did it work out? Did you download the Uber app and
we got
it
working? We got it all working, and I was like, you can take Uber here for like $3. And she goes, and after this, I mean, seriously, an hour and a half of trying to get this to work, she goes, Yeah, I took a cab here yesterday, and it was $3.25.
After all that?
Yeah. She was like, no, sometimes I take a cab. After I had loaded it, she was like, sometimes I take a cab.
I swear the punchline was going to be, I'm totally sober now. I'll just walk.
Yeah. She could have. So anyway, Sean DeTore, we miss you. We love you. Come back soon, will
you? This was fantastic. Anytime you guys want me to drop by, I'll drop by. I'll drop in. I'll drop out. I'll tune in. I'll tune out.
And we should mention... You'll do all those.
That's what you're going to be muttering on a park bench in 20 years.
You guys will just be in different parks on different benches. Really, you're talking to each other. It's just that nobody can.
Yeah, we'll be wishing on the same TBTL
bagel,
drop.
Baggle, beagle, boggle, boogle.
All right, Shawnee. We'll see you soon, man. Yeah. Everybody go check out Sean's VO page and buy lots of voiceover.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go.
Everybody rattle.
OMG, LOL, WTF,
what else? Why the face?
OMG, everybody, it's time to thank a dazzling donor. This is somebody who donated a dazzling amount of dough. Ooh, dude, I just thought of something. Donor.
Donor.
D-O-U-G-H-N-E-R.
I don't know how I feel
N-O-R.
About that. An OR. How do you feel about calling
cash dough? I like that I'm being a stickler for the spelling of the last part of a word that doesn't exist. Andrew, actually, it's D-O-U-G-H hyphen N-O-R.
How do you feel about calling... What are your favorite slang words for money?
I like
greenbacks.
Simoleons. Clams.
Dead presidents.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Dough, though. Dough never... How do you feel about cheddar? I don't like cheddar or cheese because those are very, well, cheese-oriented.
How do you feel about calling it do-re-mi?
It actually takes a bad idea and doubles down on it.
Oh, my gambling strategy. Sure. I'm familiar. Today, we are honoring and thanking Andrew John of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Here's what Andrew said. He said, Luke and Andrew, my cogitating about how best to thank you for thanking me took me away from my family for hours as I hunched over a keyboard looking for good words that could be stated in a short time frame. Well, my friend, you've never listened to this show.
Yeah.
It's amazing that he donated as much money as he did having never heard the show.
He did it on spec.
In a world where this show could actually do something in a short time frame. Really, the Din Tai Fung from yesterday is coming back on me. By the way, I've gotten into this interesting habit when I'm in Seattle of going to Din Tai Fung for breakfast now.
Oh, I thought you were talking about something you had yesterday.
I was. It's still coming back on me. I once again, me and Camaro Kev went to Din Tai yesterday morning.
Oh.
And just annihilated.
What time do they open?
They open at 10 a.m., Andrew.
Why? God, you know, I love my neighborhood, but all of the restaurants around here open at 11:30 or noon. I can't get my pho for breakfast. And it's my understanding that pho is traditionally a breakfast food. Anyway.
Well, that's the thing.
Good on them for opening at 10.
My Din Tai breakfast. And also, there's nobody in there.
Oh, that's great.
And it's just diagnosis delicious, in the words of Dr. Hibbard. So I did. That was great. But then.
Oh, that sounds good.
I ate so much. Soup dumplings and pork chop fried rice and the whole bit, that then I had to go host a charity event that night. And let's just say there was a lot going on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in my gutty works. Nothing bad, nothing softball level of danger for those that listen to that episode, but just enough to where, and you know, I've bragged on the show that burping isn't really my thing. Like I feel like I don't burp a lot. But as I was walking on stage,
you did the alphabet.
I just sort of casually let a lick. Didn't make any noise. I let a burp go, but I'm almost convinced that the first three rows of people in the audience noticed it.
Oh, no.
And this was like,
your mic on?
No, it was the smell.
You're going to have to leave. Go.
Sean, can we get you back in here? Sean's just been pacing.
I need a new co, bro.
He's been pacing in your living room, just like drinking... weird flavored Diet Cokes and getting ready for his shot to come back in. Anyway, back to Andrew John, our dazzling donor. He said he was hunched over a keyboard looking for good words that could be stated in a short time frame. They were forgiving, however, because when you're heard coming out of my iPhone, they delight in your humor and subject matter. Most recently, my 11-year-old daughter loved a whole segment dedicated to steak. When was that?
Could it be when we were talking about how steak should be cooked, or how
how they're undercooking steaks now because they don't want to have to
I dropped the steak in the bathwater.
No, that's on me. You know what happened, Andrew?
Sean was here and he got in our heads because he's such a good board op.
I have two steak related drops, but the other one is,
believe me, I understand steaks. No. It's my favorite food.
It's like I want to play drops to make fun of the guy, but I don't want his name. I don't want his voice in our ears. Get your name out of my mouth. Get your voice out of my ears, dude.
I have one thing called steak, and it says voicemail.
Ooh. Let's give it a shot.
I'm thinking this is somebody being... I think this is somebody saying the exact opposite of what you and I are trying to cultivate as a vibe when it comes to talking about meat.
Uh-oh.
Hey, guys. I'm listening to the way Luke talks about his steaks. Never mind. I forgot what I was going to say.
No, that's
good.
Exactly,
I love the way that powers out.
That's exactly our vibe. Andrew says his 11-year-old daughter, she's a worrisome carnivore.
Oh.
Wow. Explicit. You two bring 5 to 6 hours a week of near unadulterated pleasure to so many. In our current times, that pleasure is healing. Thank you for saying that, Andrew. That means a lot. I'm sorry I just played...
I just played Drumpf,
which, I mean, honestly, it's been... I don't think we've played... very infrequently, we've played Alec Baldwin impersonating him, but we haven't actually played his actual voice on the show in a long time, and I think we should keep with that policy. It really brought me down.
I know. That's the problem. Like, I have one that I love of him just talking about how he's surrounded by all the smart people and we're the smart people, and it's good, but like you just hear it, and it's just immediately...
We used to play...
Although we don't know that that's what Andrew John is talking about. Maybe Andrew John loves Trump, and he just means like in the tough times we're living through.
Yes.
We're still recovering
post Obama.
What Obama
trying to
did
dig out
country.
From the deep state. Oh, I have someone at the Four Seasons lobby in Maui. I'd like to introduce Andrew. That's not fair. I apologize. You donated money. You're dazzling us with your donation. You've got this beautiful steak obsessed young daughter, and here we are painting you as some kind of a political polemicist. And I apologize. I know that's a lot of peas, dude. Mm-hmm. A final word, says Andrew. If it's okay, I am a psychologist whose main practice is working with family members affected by domestic abuse. Learning, Andrew, that your partner, Genevieve, supports work in this crucial area, I wanted to give a particular shout out to her and all who provide help in these matters in the Seattle region and elsewhere. Yeah.
That's really nice.
Thank you. Like, Andrew John donated to the show so that he could give a shout out to people who are doing super important work. So, things really turned in the direction of being meaningful, which we try to avoid on this show whenever possible.
But I will. I'll pass that along to Genevieve. That means a lot. Yeah.
Andrew says, I haven't been listening long enough to earn the right to say power out.
What?
Andrew. The first time that your finger hovered over the button on your iPhone to hit play, you earned the right to say power out, my friend. And then when you dazzled us with a donation, you really earned the right to say power.
You earned the right to shout it from the rooftops.
Tell them the bone sent you.
Tell them the Sean sent you.
Oh, that's good. Andrew says, so I will just say thanks, and please keep it up. Andrew John of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Andrew, thank you so much, man. For real. It means the world to us that you would donate to the show and that you would force your family to listen to the show. The irony is that I don't know if you're a therapist or you're a psychologist, but that could take a lot of forms. But you're creating work in the mental health and the emotional health industry for your family and your children, who someday will be telling a therapist, my dad used to make us listen to this podcast.
Yeah, you want to think about that.
It's job security. He's just keeping...
Oh, I see.
He's keeping the business going.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, he's seeding the future.
Yeah. Exactly. So thank you, Andrew, for supporting the show. We sure do appreciate it. All right, let's do a top story here.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Announcement today that the Rick and Morty, the Adult Swim show that we are such fans of, has been renewed for 70 episodes. 70 episodes by Adult Swim, which feels like a very Adult Swim / Rick and Morty stunt, because Rick and Morty has only done 31 episodes in three seasons. I don't mean only, but like they're getting renewed for a double the amount of episodes they've ever even done in their history.
And they're like notoriously kind of, I mean, the shows are so intricate. There are a million jokes, so I'm not throwing shade here, but they are notoriously slow and deliberate in delivering. You know, I think season three, I think they had a release date that they missed by at least 6 months, and the fan base was getting like really anxious about it. They even wrote a joke in season three about how slow it took them to you know, get that season out.
I'm actually on Dan Harmon's Twitter feed right now, and somebody had tweeted at him, "Quit wasting time." By the way, there's a swear in here, I think. Is there? Yeah, at the end. "Quit wasting time and go finish the next Rick and Morty season, you lazy alcoholic. Run the Jewels can get the animation to make a music video, but we're waiting on them for the next season? Nah, we're waiting." I guess there must have been something going on with Run the Jewels. "We're waiting on you to finish writing it like that fucking book." Ooh, that hits close to home. as somebody who's been threatening to try to write a book. Dan Harmon's response, "I hear you. Tough spot. On one hand, it can be challenging, especially with crippling lazy alcoholism, to write a show that hasn't been ordered by a network." So this was obviously before the 70-episode re-up. "On the other hand, I thought that fans like you pay the price. I mean, I'm going to grab a drink." Dan Harmon is, I mean, we could spend a long time talking about his relationship with drinking, which he and I have actually talked about at length, both on and off stage. But I will say this. To the degree that alcohol is derailing his ability to do some things, he does seem to be prolific with his with Rick and Morty and with all the other stuff that he works on.
Do you know that I wasn't a huge Community person, the show Community, when other people were really kind of freaking out about it. That was a show that also kind of created a cult following. But then it's on Hulu, so Veeves and I started watching, and I found it to be a really good show to kind of dip in and dip out of when you just kind of want to watch something that is smart, but you don't have to think too hard or work too hard at it. But since I became a Rick and Morty head, and I would say Veeves and I have seen every episode at least three times, some of them way more than that, because there's only three seasons, they're short seasons, and it's really good, and you can just watch them over and over again. But since then, I've become more of a Community head because you see, I appreciate so much more the sci-fi, even the alternate realities. I didn't realize that they mess around with like alternate realities like crazy all throughout, I think, season four or five. And maybe beyond that, that's about as far as I got. But now I'm watching Community less because of Community and more because I'm looking for little bits of Rick and Morty to pop their head
right
out.
Well, then are you very excited to know there's going to be 70 more episodes?
Oh, Christ, yes. I mean, don't you feel like this has a... I didn't even know about this. I'm trying to read as we go here. You just told me about it, but it feels a little bit like...
Szechuan sauce?
What? Oh, right. Well,
almost like
say,
a stunt. Well, like they've re-upped for 4,000 episodes or some number of episodes that can almost never be created.
Or I think that like Dan Harmon is the new George R.R. Martin.
Right. Well, that's his whole Twitter feed, now that I'm looking at it, for a while was just him retweeting people mad at him. Somebody said, "Maybe you'd have time to write season four if you didn't tweet all day." And then his response, "Sure. Maybe Bigfoot likes baseball. Maybe Paris is nice. Maybe your knowledge of TV is limited to a public trough containing mostly other viewers' puke. Who knows? Oh, I do. So why stand by the trough is your point? I don't know. It's where I grew up. But you're right. I can move."
I don't know. I followed that.
I'd say that's about five beams in, probably, when that one was tweeted out. You're right. It's very George R.R. Martin-esque, where you have people that like something. Every once in a blue, this will happen to us. I don't think we have... Of course, we've got some dedicated followers of the show, but not to the degree of like the Rick and Morty fans or even the Song of Ice and Spoilers fans or whatever the name of that book really is. But every once in a while, we do get people who are mad at us that like we don't have the show out on time or that we haven't made enough shows or that maybe we did a shorter show on a certain day. And that dynamic of somebody liking what you do to the point where they're going to be mean to you because you're not making more of the thing they like that you do. That's an odd experience.
Yeah. When I first started on TBTL, I had a weird feeling. You know, back then I was very psyched to be a part of this show.
Oh, God. That was fun.
No, I mean, I was a fan of the show and I loved doing it. And then I became a regular part of the show. And then there was a little bit of kind of what you'd expect, you know, with Jen leaving and she was such a part of the show, the kind of whole like... can Andrew replace Jen kind of thing, which obviously it was not a dynamic that you and I wanted to embrace, but right. you know, people are going to have those conversations. But then the next phase was, and you know, peace and love. I love our listeners. I can't believe that here I am so many years later still working on the show, and it's been great. But there was a sense of kind of entitlement, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't want to say anything hurtful to some of those folks who are still listening.
Peace and love.
But
peace and love.
The idea that like, it stopped. It didn't feel like a show that you and I were doing, but if we didn't do exactly what the audience wanted yeah. in certain situations, you're like, wow, you guys really, I don't know. It was uncomfortable for a while. Then, you know, I got used to it. But I remember having a conversation with Genevieve off air, just kind of like, wow, that's, I don't know who's running the show anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'm amazed. This show has, obviously, it's very, very personal for the listeners. I went somewhere the other day. I don't even want to get into it on air, but let's just say something came up with Livewire related to a listener who I think at least once and maybe more had publicly broken up with us.
Oh, okay.
And I just casually, I was talking to some Livewire staffers about something and a name came up and I said, oh yeah. I said, that person has publicly broken up with TBTL a couple times. I go, what? Why would anyone do that? And I was trying to explain the dynamic of like somebody who has an expectation for this show and then the expectation is not met and then them going onto social media to say, I'm leaving this party.
Yeah.
Which again, overall, I feel
that's
like
a good relationship.
Yes.
To
it's
have.
Like, that's a level of like, you know, of interest in our show.
That- Attention, everyone. I have an announcement to make. I am leaving this party.
Worth it. That was a great use of our time. But no, I mean, it's ultimately a good thing because it means people are really connected to the show. But it is funny when it plays out that way. And the looks yeah. on the faces of the Livewire staffers like, wait, do people publicly break up with your show? I go, yeah, fairly frequently.
And I feel like I have that relationship, or I've had that relationship with shows before too. I know that – I don't even remember the details of it, but I know it was like 5 years ago, like literally 5 years or more ago, I tweeted something at on the media. Not super mean, not like – but probably – oh, you know when it was? It was the there you go. It was about their theme. It was the 2012 election. It was the show after that. What was the one where things were going crazy on Fox News and somebody was carrying a camera down a hallway? They were trying to figure out... It was a great media and politics story, and I'm blanking on the details of it, but something happened on election night on Fox News where it was a very kinetic kind of energy, and one of the main hosts, I think, started like kind of walking down the hallway to get to the brain center of the operation, and the cameras followed it. It was just like a kind of a fascinating media story.
Yeah, brain center.
And then they came back.
That's generous.
And then they came back on the media that week, and instead of like kind of covering the election and all of this crazy media stuff, they had done what they will do sometimes, which is like a kind of a deep dive on one topic for an hour. And like all I wanted to hear was
yes.
them there, like just to dissect the Beltway. And I understand, like, I think this last week on the Media was something similar. Like, I think on the media as producers and hosts, they don't always want to be just like covering Beltway politics all the time. They think that they truly believe that their power can be used for better purposes than that and looking at important issues. But I'm a little bit more of a kind of a gossip monger, I think,
yes.
when it kind of comes to that stuff. So I remember one time just being like, I can't believe you didn't cover this thing. Like, you know, whatever it was. And like, I look back at whatever tweet that was. And I was like, I was sending that to like real people, and talk about a sense of entitlement that I had to on the media to like, and then just like us and on the media, when you support something financial. Oh, yeah, Luke's drinking out of an on the media mug right
drinking
now.
Drinking out of an on the media mug that you got probably for donating.
For donating, and that's the thing too. And I'm not saying that I felt this way about on the media then, but especially with our show, when you have people like Andrew Johns who are just thinking, or everybody mm-hmm. who donates to this show, no matter how much, of course you're going to have a certain amount of buy-in. Of course you're
yeah.
going to make it feel like this is my thing. And if you go off on a tangent that I don't like, or you want to wish people a happy birthday, and I'm an evil person who doesn't like people to be wished happy birthdays, mm-hmm. Why you would feel like you have a certain kind of right to get that out of the show.
On the subject of political content, I guess you could say, you know, last week on the show, we were talking about Chris Hayes' new podcast.
Oh, yes.
Why Is This Happening?
Yeah.
Which is racing up the iTunes charts. And I was sort of being, I was being, I would say kidding on the square. I was being half serious, half sarcastic, being like, oh my God, now he's better at podcasting than we are. And he is. And I listened to that show over the weekend, in particular an episode on conservatism.
Oh, the first one that dropped. Yeah, I heard that.
Oh, it was kind of like trying to explain, like, you know, is Donald Trump technically speaking a conservative? Because he's not fiscally conservative in a lot of ways. He's not. He doesn't seem to be overly moral when it comes to his marriages, etc. So how does he fit into it? And Chris interviews this professor who's actually read Edmund Burke and actually studied the real history of this movement. And it blew my mind. I was sitting in horrendous traffic because you know how like they were doing construction on I-5 this weekend.
Oh God, yes.
Everything was. I know complaining about traffic is pretty low on the list of things that are interesting, but I was just sitting in like completely parked traffic, which normally would have made me go crazy. But I was listening to Chris's show and I was transported to an erudite world of like smart conversation and learning. I mean, really genuinely learning.
And Chris sounds like he is having so much fun. I mean, Chris can be himself on his own show. It's got his name on it on MSNBC. I would have never thought watching All In with Chris Hayes that he's at all restrained or whatever. He's being Chris. But in this podcast atmosphere, he just sounds like he is being delighted at all. I don't know if I'm using the word delighted too much this show, but he just, it's such a good space for him. So yeah, I mean, it's an amazing podcast that I wish he had never made. It really was a great episode, though. I'm not just saying that.
Yeah, everybody go listen to that show. It's I don't think he gets this far into it. The man has a network television show and now a podcast and like 9 children at this point.
Right. As Obama once told him, his seat is strong.
Yeah, exactly. You got flow.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week I hope that it's from a female. Oh man, it's not from a female.
All right, Andrew, this is not so much an email, but a tweet mail. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, or I don't want to drag you back into something that you're, you know, we've already sort of settled. But listener Steve got on the Twitter and said, because remember, we threw our hat in the ring. By the way, how did that phrase start? I wonder.
I feel like who wants
to wrestle the dragon? Throw ye hat into the ring.
I always picture it a cowboy setting. I always assume that they're
I feel like there's such an easier way to indicate you want to do something.
Right.
Okay, like, I'll do it.
Draw a ring. Who wants to do it? Okay.
Yeah, me.
Well, yeah.
Because then like, your hat gets so dirty.
Use your words. Use your words, cowboy.
You know what I mean? It's like, don't you feel like you could have just indicated that you wanted to be a part of whatever,
like,
the thing was?
Raise your hand.
Yeah, raise your hand. Say, like, here.
Right.
Like, I'm into that.
It's like, now your hat's dirty.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just, anyway, we threw our hat into the ring for this WBUR weekend programming thing. Which, by the way, speaking of Livewire, as I was a moment ago, we did the show this week down in Portland. And I was talking to my friend Jesse, who is the husband of one of the executive producer of Livewire. And I was telling him about this BUR thing. And I was like, yeah, we kind of applied for it. And then we actually got on the relatively short list. And he goes, oh, man, that's so cool. You should pursue it. I go, yeah, but like, what's the end game? I have another radio show I have to do. And he goes, oh, yeah, Laura wouldn't like that. Laura's the executive producer of Livewire. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. If I was calling her going, guess what?
Right.
We're throwing another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I have a feeling that every time I'm out, you're going to pull me back in.
They pull me back in.
So, so we decided after we got on the like the on the short list. That was actually Sean. Sean, you know what? That's Sean. Come on, dude. We get it. You're a better engineer than Andrew. Don't come in here and futz with his board.
Put your shirt back on. Stop distracting me.
I'd say leave it off.
Wait, put your hat in the ring. No, put your hat back on. Hat on, shirt off.
So we decided after getting on the like maybe 20 or so list that we were just going to gracefully bow out and talk about it for 9 days on the podcast. Because what we were going to have to submit would be like a 10-minute audio sample of us doing this show that had been pitched, which was a kind of a life hack advice show. And your thought, Andrew, was, well, one, again, we don't really know where this ends. It's just like eventually this joke is just going to get bigger and more out of control. And are we going to be in Boston talking to these producers about a show that we probably really can't even do?
When do we tell our boss we're doing this?
I feel like if he was listening to the show, he would know. I mean, isn't this a self-correcting mechanism? So anyway, we decided, nah, son. But then listener Steve said, just dedicate 10 minutes of Monday's show. Well, that ship has sailed, Steve. But anyway, he sent this before. Just dedicate 10 minutes of Monday's show to a call-in segment about life hacks. I bet no other entrant can produce a great call-in segment with as little effort as you guys can with the power of the tens, a real selling point. God, that's a compelling argument, Andrew.
It would be with more time, but here's the deal about the show is like I don't the idea was not to do I don't think we're going to convince them with a like kind of a rough around the edges. We just hit record for 10 minutes and then whatever we sticks to the tape we submit. Like I wanted it to be good.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I like the challenge of us tomorrow.
I'm happy to do that for TBTL, but then
what if we did it tomorrow as the first 10 minutes of the show?
Mm-hmm.
And then if it went really well, we just cut that audio and ship it pre-COB to Boston.
Well, I mean,
no, okay. I know. No.
The thing is, it's good, but like here's my problem is I liked our original concept so much that we can't, like, it is part of it would have been like, well, somebody suggested that we try this life hack thing last time on the call-in show, and we just spent the week trying that, and now how did it turn out? Like, we can't do anything. Like, what would the call-in be like tomorrow? We wouldn't have the experimental nature of the life hack show, which is what our whole thing was supposed to be about, right?
Well, I guess I just thought we'd throw open the lines and have people call in and just get advice from us. And then, but I mean, even no joke, even with the time difference, there'd be a potential issue.
Oh, like to get it done.
Yeah, because if we were like recording at 1 o'clock West Coast, they're already shutting things down in Boston.
Right.
So we've already probably missed the deadline.
And that's the thing, like I have no problem doing this concept or even just doing it as a thing on TBTL. Like I don't know why. I'm just being really no fun about this.
No,
I'm clearly on the wrong side of history.
You're not
here.
Being no fun about it.
I just want it to be
looking
good.
Down the road. See that part I don't care about.
I'm letting the perfect be the enemy of the not so great.
No, you're actually thinking about you're considering the fact that there is a ripple effect as we move through the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care as much about that because I'm just living Moss,
mm-hmm.
You know? I'm living La Vida Loca,
right.
Or even La Vida Loco. I'm Yolo Yodo.
That's living on the edge.
On the edge! All of that. So I don't really care, but your points are totally valid, actually. And I'm sorry that I keep, like, poking at this. I just thought it was... You know what? I also just like a good kind of, like... I like a good... third act challenge.
Sure.
Like, there's no way they'll pull this one off.
Right.
And when Steve tweeted at us and was like, just make it the show, and then just, like, the idea of us recording a life hack open to the show tomorrow mm-hmm. for 10 minutes, and then just, like, being like, Andrew, like, during the break while a ZipRecruiter ad is playing, you're just, like, cutting the tape and just, like, sending it to somebody in Boston, and then they're like, you're hired!
Right.
Gets my endorphins going.
Gets your juices flowing?
Yeah.
Let's take those juices and, like, channel them into some of the other things that we actually have to do in the next month for our job that we have not had one conversation about.
You are so right. You are so right. And
Jamie, I know you can hear this. And Jamie, we haven't had conversation one about it yet.
Here's all I'm trying to say.
I love juice.
Just got to get that juice. All right. That's for any other emails.
Yeah, I got
that
some
we
stuff
should actually
here.
Talk about here.
I got some stuff okay. here. Hey, you might already know this. I got several emails from people. You played a song called Cloud Busting by
Wild Nothing.
Cherry. Wild Nothing.
What happened?
Got some
Get down, get down. Get down, get down.
I got some emails and V-mails and social media posts telling us that that is a... And you might already know this. I did not because I was totally unfamiliar with everything. But it's a cover of a Kate Bush song, Cloud Busting. Did you already know that?
I did, but I feel just terrible about how all of this stuff went down. Well, just the fact that we were like... Because remember what happened was... some unrelated search brought me to Wild Nothing, and then we were starting to play a song by them, but then we realized, oh, it was a day that we actually were going to play a specific song for our dazzling donor. Do you want to hear a little bit of the Kate Bush version?
Yeah,
it's pretty beautiful. By the way, Donald Sutherland is in the video, a young Donald Sutherland. He was 74, but I was young.
I love that guy.
I love Kate Bush, by the way.
I never had a chance to get into it.
She's sort of... in the world of like the Cocteau Twins for me. Anyway, I feel bad about it because it was like we started to play a Wild Nothing song and then it was like we stopped because we weren't supposed to do that. Then we played the other song. Then the next day I was like saying, oh, I just got an email from a listener about Wild Nothing. We were going to play Cloud Busting. But then I couldn't find the email from the listener because was in fact a tweet.
Oh, right.
And then we played Cloud Busting and then I didn't mention... that it's a Kate Bush song. So then somebody... Do you know why I'm also having a hard time?
Because this is the part I sent to WBUR. All of that stuff that you were talking about. That was the part of the show that
I'm
going to
call your bluff. Send this in.
No. See what happens. I'm going to send in the part where you played the wrong song and then we had to...
Somebody... I felt horrible about just how everything was just... It was just a... It was not clean. It was not a beautiful, sweet-smelling show.
Double tapered.
And then somebody...
Sorry.
I'm good for that twice a year. And then somebody emailed us today and was clarifying it, and they said, as you were fumbling around the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And just the use of the word fumbling, which is accurate, confirmed my worst suspicions that it was like I was stumbling and bumbling and fumbling. Did you say you fumble your sweaters? I said fondue with cheddar.
I said fondue with cheddar. That was Paul, by the way, who sent in from Tokyo. He said, well, you're fumbling around.
And he didn't mean it.
No.
He was absolutely accurate. Yeah. I was fumbling. Those are, like, I think an insecurity that you have, I'm not trying to tell you how you feel, but an insecurity you have sometimes has to do with, like, if you can't remember someone's name.
Right.
And that, for some reason, doesn't give me any insecurity. If I can't remember someone's name, it just is what it is. But if I, like, play the audio drop volumes low, or if I'm looking for tape and I can't find it, or if I play the wrong thing, or if I'm basically fumbling, that gives me great insecurity. And I don't know why. I mean, I do a lot of things on the show that I should be insecure about. I don't know why that specific one... gets me.
Yeah. No, I understand that feeling. For me, when I'm trying to recall somebody's name, it's because it's directly related to my brain, and then I feel my brain lock up in a weird, panicky way.
Right.
Like, if I... And it could be somebody really... it doesn't have to be some obscure reference. It could be somebody whose name I say every day, whether it's a famous person or somebody even in our... even in our circle. Do you know... this is a really weird thing to say, but...
Okay.
Really regret already bringing this up, but I guess I'll just go through it. Something really weird was happening when we were at our friend Newman's kind of memorial service a couple of weeks ago. Like five times in a row, I called him Kevin, and I was standing, you know, right next to our friend Kamara Kevin. I don't think he heard it any time, but Genevieve was kind of like, Andrew, Kevin is here with us right now. You have to stop saying that Kevin passed
away. Dude, you know that I have called him. Well, I called his name's Jason. But I called him Kevin to Carrie multiple times because every person in that friend group that's not Jason is named Kevin.
Yeah, no, that is the thing. There were like seven Kevins.
It's a murder of Kevins.
Yeah.
It's a Camaro of Kevins. And so, I mean, honestly, and here's the other thing. It's like we never called Jason Jason. It was always Newman. So I was scared. I only learned his first name like 8 months ago because he was always Newman.
Right.
And then everybody else in that group is named, like, everybody born in Lake Stevens between 1977 and 1987 was named Kevin.
Yeah. And a bunch of people were coming up to talk. It was a really nice thing. And there was a lot of his friends, some of whom I knew, but a lot of whom I didn't know. And they were all named Kevin. It became kind of a thing. People were telling like these really amazing, touching stories, but it was also funny because they'd have to say, say I'm this Kevin.
Right.
It was something else. Hey, where were we? Oh, just
I was just fumbling around.
You're fumbling around. Let me tell you this story really quickly. Let me tell you this story.
Yeah. Tell
from
you how sick I was.
Megan in Horseheads, New York.
Ooh.
She says she just heard you mention that your bay kitty has lost some fur on the back of her neck.
Oh, yeah. That scared people.
She says, I'm not sure if you will discuss this anymore, but it happened after I applied a topical heartworm treatment to my cat. Did you recently apply any medicine to the bay kitty's skin?
She gets a flea treatment.
Hmm.
You know what?
It could be it.
Can't believe I didn't even think of this. Yeah, she gets a flea treatment, and I assume it's on the back of her neck. She and Rudy both get the same, not the same one, but, you know, Carrie will, like, once a month apply this little kind of clear little liquid to the back of their necks, and that's actually exactly where that is. I wonder why it had that effect, though. Somebody thought that might be a sign she had worms.
Oh.
Which I don't think she has. She seems, by the way, perfectly healthy and happy. I mean, as healthy and happy as she ever seems.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Camaro's house on Saturday night, and you know their cat Manolo is just like the greatest cat. She is old as the hills, but is still kicking. And she's a Torby, which is it's a combination of two cats, which I can't remember at the moment, like a tortoise and something else. Has to do with the markings.
I thought it was that vacuum I wanted to get.
They're very. Don't we know somebody that works at Torby? Like offering us free stuff.
Well, I want one of those bagless vacuums, one of those Torbys. Torby Tornado, I think.
But they call it Torbitude because these kinds of cats are just really talkative.
Oh, really? Oh.
And Manolo doesn't even... Manolo seems like an animatronic cat to me because she'll stand perfectly still. Her body is totally still. But then her head's just moving and she's just talking, just standing there in the kitchen, just like talking to everybody. And I was struck by the fact that I've never seen Olive stand that still.
Oh.
Ever for 1 second.
She's way more kinetic.
Totally kinetic, totally just like head on a swivel, totally just, I mean, she will live a long time. Nothing's going to get the drop on her.
I think it's okay for me to say this. So you guys were hanging, this was Saturday night, right? This is the night that I saw you and Kevin and Veeves, but then the three of you guys all went to watch a fight, I believe, some boxing and stuff, and then you guys all had a kind of a night out with Genevieve. And I stayed back home because I was just, I had been drinking during the Mariners game, and it kind of got on top of me a little bit.
Plus, you wanted your I respect this.
Well, I really wanted my special alone time, but I didn't have it because as soon as you guys left the house, I fell asleep. I just have a vague memory of coming out of the bathroom and you saying, hey, well, what are you going to do, Andrew? I'm like, what do you mean? What am I going to do? And Veeves is like, we're all going to watch the fight. And I was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
I remember you guys saying you're going to leave, and I celebrated, and then I immediately passed out. So I'm doing well for myself. But you guys were all hanging out, made it a late night of it, and I think you all crashed at Kevin's house. Genevieve came home in the morning, and she said, we crashed out. It was a fun time. But then I guess Manolo just walked into the – I don't know if you guys were all crashing in the same room. Kevin went to bed or whatever.
I was down in the basement. Kevin was obviously up in their bedroom, and I believe your cobro. Took on the very ample couch they have.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know why I'm picturing, like, we're in our 40s.
Yeah, by the way,
you guys like all like, well, you were doing each other's hair.
You're being pretty cool about this.
Yeah, and then you fell asleep. Yeah. Well, I didn't expect
Well, we made a this. Fort. We made a blanket
right.
fort
yeah, yeah,
underneath
yeah.
a table.
Yeah, I did. I was. Like, for some reason, it seemed like such a collegiate scene. I
it
figured,
really
oh,
was
you guys
a very
probably,
fun
like,
night.
Like, passed out, like, in the living room. But anyway, Genevieve says that Manolo just, like, walks into the middle of the room in the morning and just starts, like an alarm, and that's how she woke up.
I was wondering because I heard that her leave because like Kevin had to let her out because of like all the alarms they have and say.
When I was a smoker, I would have hated that.
I know, and I don't know the code, by the way. It's very Misery-esque. Yeah. When you go over there, Kevin is basically, he locks you in a room, he hobbles you, and he makes you watch Thor Ragnarok.
3D.
And he says, that's not the way this movie ends. He doesn't throw the cock-a-doody hammer.
The irony
you
is he...
amnesia?
Anyway.
He takes out one of your eyes, so you can't even enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
3D.
And I'm watching it
that's
in half
very,
D.
That was very
anyway, hard. I heard Genevieve leave pretty early, actually, and I was like, wow, good for her, because I was still very tired, but that was probably because of the Manolo clock.
Off. Can I share one more thing with
yes,
you and then we'll wrap
do.
It up? So this was sent in from Nigel. I'm making plans for Nigel. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Nigel. I'm sure you have you ever heard that joke before?
I was thinking it. We were all thinking it.
And he actually sent a story in from Boing Boing that I'm going to read to you really quickly. He says it seemed like prime TBTL material. There is a woman in Sweden who paid to have her arm tattooed with the name of her two children's name, Nova and Kevin. I'm reading here directly.
No way. Another Kevin? Was he at the memorial?
I think so. Again, according to Boing Boing.
I'm Swedish Kevin.
I think I said BuzzFeed before. Boing Boing says
Boing.
The tattooist refunded her money and suggested she go... Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped the main part. The problem is the tattooist accidentally inked her arm with the word Kelvin instead of Kevin. And so the tattooist said that you should go to a removal clinic. Instead, she and her husband settled on an easier, less expensive, and pain-free solution. They changed their son Kevin's name to Kelvin, and they claimed to prefer the new name anyway. This is from a newspaper called The Local, quoted here. From the woman, I had never heard the name Kelvin before. There isn't anyone who names their kid Kelvin. So when I thought more about it, I realized that no one else has this name. It became unique. Now we think it is better than Kevin. He wasn't so old at the time of the tattoo, so he didn't think about. So he didn't have to think about it. He's five now. But when I got the tattoo, he was approaching just 2 years old. So you had a kid for 2 years, almost 2 years. And you change his name because of a tattoo mistake. And Nigel wanted to say, I made the mistake of listening to TBTL on a related note when I was getting my first tattoo last week. This is really where this is going. I realized after the guy was working on me that, number one, laughing while getting a tattoo is a bad idea. And number two, TBTL is funny. So that's nice. So I had
it took you this long to realize, Nigel?
I'm still waiting for the... for the clouds to part from me on that, too. Nigel says, I had to have the tattooist pause, and then I listened to it of This American Life, one of their serious episodes. Keep up the great work and power out.
I wonder what Nigel's tattoo was.
Nigel, can you let us know what your tattoo was?
Also, I just realized something. Next time I see my namesake, Little Luke, maybe I'm his namesake. Next time I see my nephew, I'm going to be like, you better start showing me the respect I deserve, or I'm changing your name to Kelvin.
Yes, or Luke.
Oh, I forgot to... I'm sorry, I misspoke. His name is Lurk.
Lurk.
We call him Little Lurk.
That's not so bad. All right, do you want to leave it there and I'll save some of these voicemails for tomorrow?
Okay, so should we go out with cloud busting?
I think so. Actually, isn't that what Andrew Johns wanted us to go out with? Cloud busting, but sung by you, I think.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know. What do you want to go out with? What do we do here today?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I have something in mind, but I want to save it for music for your weekend. You know how hard it is to think of new music, and when you do, you like you have to jealously guard it.
Okay, how about this? We talk about Rick and Morty,
which
led me to Rick Ocasek.
Oh yeah,
let's play something by the Cars.
Oh,
what's
hell
your favorite
dude.
Cars song?
Well, to keep it upbeat, I mean, Let the Good Times Roll, or what's a
Just What I Needed, Good Times Roll, good. Best Friend's Girl, Moving in Stereo. I don't know
that. I don't know that one, but Best Friend's Girl, how about that?
Yeah, let's do that.
That's a good one. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We will be right back here tomorrow with more TBTL. In the meantime, enjoy your Monday. Go Mariners, who have a well-deserved day off.
Yes.
We love you, Mitch Haniger.
Oh, my God. What a weekend.
God bless. That was delightful. Go Mariners, go eat a bagel, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all. That you meet, it doesn't know the real surprise. Here she comes again. When she's dancing beneath the starry sky. She'll make you flip. Here she comes again. When she's dancing beneath the starry sky. I kind of like the way she dips. My best friend's girl. She's my best friend's girl. But she used to be mine. You got your nuclear boots and your drip dry glove. Oh, when you bite your lip, it's a reaction to love. I kinda like the way, I like the way it's done.
power out.